Welcome to C3, everybody. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. Welcome to those of you in West, down in East, watching on live stream. I appreciate you taking time out to be here. Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Can you say that in church? Is that even a, I don't know. Do you send greeting cards? Happy Super Bowl Sunday. Hope your team made it, wins, I don't know. We get a two-for-one special because it's Groundhog Day today also. Some of you are asking even this morning, it's like, where's Pastor Mark? I said, well, he's supposed to be here this morning, but he walked outside and saw a cat shadow. And so we won't see him for another 6 weeks, apparently. So here we go. We're wrapping up our Next Steps series, and we've been talking about the things that on the whole we'd want to look at as you're progressing through your life of faith. We've talked about the fact that everybody has faith inside of them and whatever you place it in. If you have said yes to Jesus, or if you're still kicking the tires on that one, that there are some things that you're meant to do in your life to move you forward. And it's not just sort of a spiritual bucket list that you check it all off and go, glad I don't have to do anything anymore. It's a lifelong process for us. And so as we wrap this series up, it's not as if, okay, well, now we're going to take a test and you get your little card that you can carry around and that's good enough. You can just sort of do whatever else you want with your life. We're meant to keep on with this. But there is something that we're going to talk about today when we talk about declaring our faith that is sort of a moment in time experience that has much broader implications, not because of the magic in the water of baptism, or not because there's something always just amazing that happens in the moment. Sometimes there is. We're going to hear a story of that a little bit later. It's what it represents in our life and where it falls in the process. Now, I don't know where you come from in your spiritual journey. Some people have a lot of church background. Some of you have none. Some of you have an idea of what you think baptism is or what it means. Some of you have no idea. You come as a blank slate. That's all good. Let's level the playing field today, because it is important for us to make sure we're all on the same page about not just what we do around here and why we do it and how we do it, but why it matters in our life of faith and in the next steps as we talk about declaring our faith and looking at how baptism helps us express that. Here's the big idea I would want to drop into your notes today if you're filling out the paper copy or looking on the C3 Tri-Cities app. Big idea for this morning, and we're going to look at a lot of scripture verses. Hopefully I've written those down too so that you can follow up through the week. Some of you do that in small groups. Some of you do that on your own. We want that to be a resource that you can take with you. Here's the big idea that we're going to unpack today. It's important that we leave no shadow of doubt. See what I did there? Groundhog Day, shadow, doubt. Ah, they don't just pay me for looks. Okay, leave no shadow of doubt where you stand with God. Leave no shadow of doubt where you stand with God. Now, some of you are going to think, boy, you guys really plumb the depths from up here. Well, I'm going to tell you what I did. I jumped on the C3 Tri-Cities website, and I downloaded the brochure that we hand to children when we're having this conversation. And so if you have gone through this with your children, this is going to be familiar to you. But the rest of us, well, this is an all skate. We can all do this because they've made it very accessible as far as why declaring your faith through baptism matters and to be able to see it in this larger context. I need everybody to free up one hand and kind of stick it up just in front of you. We're not raising hands. One hand in front of you. We're going to start. We're going to use a little mnemonic here that starts with your thumb. And the thumb represents hearing the gospel. Hearing the gospel. Now you can free up your hand and write that in if you're doing that. Hearing the gospel. I'm going to assume this morning that none of you have heard the gospel. From Romans 10:17, we hear just a common sense statement. Faith comes from hearing. That is hearing the good news about Christ. It's very hard to believe in something you've never heard about. And so I'm going to assume that none of you have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. Here goes. God loves you recklessly, unconditionally, without merit or favor. He created you special. And your purpose, regardless of what you think it is to be in relationship with your Creator. Now, a long time ago, we read in the Bible that first man and first woman had that opportunity, and they said, pass. They made a different choice. They wanted to be their own God. They wanted to determine their own path apart from that relationship. And that created a divide called sin. Huge mistake. Some of us look back and go, I would have never made that mistake. Well, let me be clear. Humanity has had no problem at all keeping that ball rolling all these thousands of years later. Every person in this room, I don't know all of you, but I know that every person in this room has goofed. You have sinned. You have put a barrier in between the relationship you were meant to have in this life and in the life to come with your Creator. That's a problem. Here's the bigger problem. You can't fix it on your own. And God knows this. But His heart is to have that relationship with you. And He went to great lengths to bridge the gap. Enter the person of Jesus Christ, who showed up on planet Earth thousands of years ago, proclaiming the good news of a God who had not given up on humanity, even if it felt like it. And they killed Him because it was too good to be true. There had to be some element of human performance, and Jesus said, it's not. I'm willing to die to bridge the gap for your sin, for the sins of all humanity for all time, because God will never give up on this love relationship you were meant to have with Him. And if His death was the end of the story, we would be without hope. But the Bible claims several times that Jesus was raised from the dead, forever defeating death and the grave. We don't have to be afraid of the end of this life, even though our sin has the consequence of a physical death. It does not have to turn into a spiritual death, separation from God forever and all time. Our ability to receive a gift, the gift of God's grace, washes us clean. We can be forgiven of the wrong that we have done. We can be made new. We can be set on a right path and be restored in right relationship with a God who loves you. That's not just good news. That's great news. And even better, with all the struggle and toil, life doesn't automatically get perfect after that. We still have problems. We still mess up. We have a sustaining presence, we're going to talk about that in a little bit, that carries us to the end, and a hope that leads us beyond. We can put our hope in a forever future with the God who wants to spend it with us. Yes. Now, you've heard. Next step is what you're going to do with it. Believe in Jesus. Now, here's the deal. There's no magic dust around here. I can't make that happen for you. Nobody can make that happen. Sometimes people say, oh, my parents are Methodists, so I'm a Christian. It didn't work that way. You are the only person in your chair, and you are the one responsible for what you believe. So now that you've heard, it begs the question, what will you do with what you have heard? Will you place your faith in Jesus? Acts 16:31 says, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. And if you've read the book of Acts, you know that this happened in some really powerful ways as people simply believed. And it spread like wildfire amidst persecution, amidst hardship. The good news of Jesus Christ was accepted, and it changed people's lives, and it changed the course of history. But that's up to you, your choice. When that happens, there's another piece, middle finger, not lost on me, the irony here of repentance. We've all done bad things, and we need to be forgiven. But repentance isn't just saying, sorry, God, won't happen again. That's good intention, but repentance really, according to the Bible, is when a changed heart turns your life around. Of course, apologizing and making amends and reconciling, that's God's business, is reconciling the world to Himself. That's what He wants us to be a part of. And to the extent that our story follows that pattern, we are repenting. We are turning, not in our own strength, but this understanding that I've been living a lie. I've been living for wrong things, and I want to get out of that pattern of life, and I need to turn and begin to head in the way that God intended for me to head. Acts 3:19, repent of your sins, okay? Yes, to talk about it, but to turn. turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. That repentance comes with the assurance of forgiveness. It's not a cloak and dagger with God. It's not a, well, let's see if I can get him, you know, really embarrassed and then just wanted to make you feel bad. No. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I didn't make that up. 1 John 1:9, lived my whole life with that belief that it's true. And there's plenty to be forgiven for. In a room this size, statistics say every crime, sin known to man represented. Okay? We're a messy bunch. If you're visiting today, sorry, I hope we haven't scared you off, but we're works in progress. Ring finger, it's confession. Confession, I used the word just a minute ago. Some people would put repentance and confession together. Repentance is the life change. The confession actually is something that we speak and that we say. At some point, as you give your life to Jesus, you need to tell what's going on in your heart and what you believe. And that happens two ways. You tell God, who knows it all already, so you're just admitting to him the truth. That relationship, right? When your kids mess up and you know they've done wrong, isn't it important that they be able to say it and not just be like, You want the relationship. That's what God wants for us. But here's the other piece. Actually, let's do Romans 10:9 since it's up there. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Okay? There is that peace that it's owned by you, not somebody for you, not somebody wishing it for you, but you yourself have taken that on. You confess that to God. But you also confess it to other people. You confess that to other people. Listen to James 5. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Some of you know that good and well. That's why we harp on small groups so much around here. A crowd isn't going to be able to handle all your dirt, and you don't have to give it to them. Everybody's got tough stuff. We understand that. But you get in close connection with people who will receive that in confidence that you're safe to share the dirt of life, to clean up, to tell them they receive that, not to judge you, but to pray for you. Have you been prayed for by a group of people before? I really don't have words for the kind of rush that is. It's very humbling, but it is not just a performance. It is something that really has power to do things in your life, the healing that James talks about. And so it is a vital, vital part of what we're talking about. This confession to God and to other people. Well, now finally we get to our pinky. What we're here to talk about, declaring your faith through baptism, being baptized. Being baptized is taking all that you have going on in your heart and doing something about it symbolically in obedience to God. If you're filling in notes, it's an outward sign of an inward change. An outward sign of an inward change. Some people would say, and maybe you've heard this before, I know I've heard it, well, my faith is private. I'm like, how does that work? It was never meant to be private. It's meant to be personal, but never meant to be private. It's supposed to be something that is expressed to other people. And that being able to express that, to demonstrate that, not only is good for you, but it influences others. It's good for the world. That we be able to do that for each other. It's an outward sign of an inward change. Some of you wear one of these, right? Wedding ring. I got one. Does the ring make you married? Am I still married? Yep, I am. The ring is a symbol of a commitment that I made many years ago to love my wife in a marriage relationship for the rest of my life. The ring symbolizes that. It does not make me married. There's a time when people didn't exchange rings and they were married. Okay? But it was not private either. We didn't just run off in the woods and shake hands and say, okay, well, this works for me. Does it work for you? Yeah. No. We got a bunch of people together and you have too, and you have a party. You celebrate these kinds of things. And we do no less. Some of you, if you have not experienced that around here, we'll be very shocked that we play loud music and we cheer and shout when people get baptized around here. It's not a somber occasion. And it certainly is not private. We do not do private baptisms around here. And we don't care if you're a little bit nervous to get up in front of people. We tell every single person, you guys love them. And we know it's true. And you're cheering and you're just being here is a huge boost of courage to allow people to do something that is very vulnerable. It does wonders for people. But baptism does not save you. Doesn't do it. Your faith in Christ is what does that. The good works that we do are an outpouring of what God has already done in us. Baptism doesn't somehow just sort of satisfy God and say, oh, I was sort of waiting until you did that. Now it's for real. It's something you get to do as a response of what God has already done in your life. And when you're baptized, and we do it here by immersion, we've never seen in the Bible where anybody got sprinkled or sprayed or sneezed on or dripped or what, you know. The person who has made the commitment is the one who gets baptized. There is no proxy. You don't just get to ride the coattails of a family member. We don't baptize the dead. That might have ruffled some people. We do you because you're the person who's making the commitment, the choice, okay? It's like being buried with Christ. That's why we do the immersion thing too, by the way, because scripture talks about it, that Jesus was baptized in this way. Every biblical baptism was by immersion. Your old self dies, and then symbolically, we do pull you up out of the water, by the way. You're raised, some of you are wondering, raised to new life, a symbolism of the forgiveness of sins, the symbolism of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Listen to Paul in Romans 6. He's just reasoning with the people in his day. It's so pertinent, so relevant. He says, should we keep on sinning so that God can show us more and more of his wonderful grace? Of course not. Since we have died to sin, how can we continue to live in it? Or have you forgotten that when we were joined with Christ Jesus in baptism, we joined him in his death? For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. There is a powerful symbol that comes from being baptized. You have signed on to a death to whatever you thought your life was about, your agenda, your plans, your desires, your wishes. And not that you're downgrading by saying yes to Jesus. You just give up control of it. You say, here, Lord, you are taking the reins. The sinfulness, the self-seeking, the pride, the ambitions that pull me away, that created the gap in the first place, I want to die to those things and be raised to new life. I'm not going to get it right all the time. Some people have this grandiose notion that baptism just sort of fixes everything. Some people have had amazing experiences of that. But I tell you what, life will still be hard. But we've got new power on board. And that's what takes, in case you're keeping track, we've run out of fingers, so we move to the palm, which is living the Christian life. And this is really the larger point when it comes to declaring your faith. Not just that a crowd of people sees you get wet and come back up. It's that you, through your baptism, are declaring to the world that you choose to live for Christ every day. This is not a one-time deal to just say, okay, baptized, now I can just go and do whatever. Glad I got that taken care of. No, it is a commitment to put boots on the ground, to show up, and to allow God to use you and be available to him to shine his light, to spread his love, to share his goodness with everybody. Every day. Every day. But we don't do that in our own power. Again, of all the things, salvation is a gift. Baptism is a gift. Living with the power of the Holy Spirit is a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit, not the merit of the Holy Spirit. He's given to us, and he helps us in some very specific ways. I can think of four in your notes there if you're filling things in. One of the most powerful ways the Holy Spirit shows up in our lives when we continue to hand over the reins of our life to God in faith. The Holy Spirit provides us comfort as proof of his loving presence. I get called all the time to very awful, sad situations. And I can tell you right here, right now, there is a difference when people have said yes to Jesus and the comfort they experience. It doesn't make their dead loved one come back to life. It doesn't make the person all better. It doesn't fix everything. It is a comforting presence. And I have no problem walking into those situations and praying with conviction because I do not want to sound trite in those times. Thank you, Lord, that you have chosen to stick around even when it's hard, that you will walk with us through tough times. You are not afraid to stay with us and to be with us. Jesus spoke it so plainly to his disciples in John 14. He says, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another advocate, another name for the Holy Spirit, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world can't receive him because it isn't looking for him. It doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. That abiding presence. We don't have to sit around in our life of faith wondering all the time, taking our pulse. Is he with me? Is he not? He said, I won't leave you. Life is hard. It will be this side of the grave. Expect it. If you haven't had it, just stick around. Okay? The Holy Spirit gives us comfort when it gets hard. He also provides coaching to remind you and to help you to make wise decisions. This is very hard to explain. It sounds a little bit like something else when you talk about it, but there is a very real sense in which when your heart turns into a satellite, open to receive in real time what God might be saying to you in any given moment, sometimes in words, sometimes just in a sense in your spirit that this is what ought to happen or this is what ought not to happen or say this or do this or whatever, that you can be in sync with God's will for your life. I cannot explain that very well at all. Those of you who have experienced that know what that looks like when it comes to life's difficult decisions. And sometimes it's silence, which to me means a green light. If I'm not hearing no, I'm like, okay, Lord, well, stop me if you need to, you know. And he will, right? If we're painting outside the lines, he's faithful to do that. And that's the other piece of it is conviction. Let me back up here, though. John 14, 26. When the Father sends the advocate as my representative, the Holy Spirit will teach you everything and will remind you of everything I told you. You don't have to memorize the Bible cover to cover. Read it, for sure. But let the Holy Spirit prompt you and lead you and talk to you when you don't know what to do. When the Father sends the advocate as my representative, he will teach you and remind you of everything that I have told you. Okay? That takes a little bit of faith because we pride ourselves in having everything figured out before we make decisions. And sometimes you just don't know. And that's where faith comes in. That third piece then is the conviction of right and wrong. The conviction of right and wrong. Not a guilt trip, not a bludgeoning. Some of you will talk about feeling like you got slapped upside the head, but not as a bad thing. It's that something was needed at that point to wake you up to a wrong path of life and to get you back on track. And the affirmation, the reassurance that you're on the right path, that again, we don't have to guess all of the time. We can live our lives and know that the Holy Spirit is in our corner, wanting God's best for us as we hand over the reins. John 16, but in fact, it's best for you. This is Jesus talking to his disciples. It's best for you that I go away because if I don't, the advocate won't come. If I do go away, then I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will convict the world of its sin. That's why I can tell you about the gospel because it's still happening today. It's going to happen tomorrow, the next day, if God wills, right? God's righteousness and of coming judgment. It's coming. The world's sin is that it refuses to believe in me. Righteousness is available because I go to the Father and you will see me no more. Judgment will come because the ruler of this world has already been judged. The Holy Spirit does this job for you, which again takes the pressure off. Baptism isn't this, okay, well, you've let God do this part now. You're just off on your own. Have fun. It's not meant to be that. We're meant to have that godly assist our whole way through and a metric to sort of see how we're doing. Okay? Not as condemnation, but as a way to know what we're partnering with God in our lives. And that's the fourth one, is cultivation. Cultivation of godly fruit in you. Galatians. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Some of you know these very well. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There's no law against these things. God's not trying to make it a downer. He's handing over the keys to the kingdom and saying, this is the kind of life the Holy Spirit can guide you in. Why would you choose otherwise? It's not going to lead you anywhere productive. So that's the context. But again, this isn't meant to be just another hoop to jump through, just to inconvenience you or sort of, you know, round out the resume. Well, I did this and I did this and I did this. There is power in what we're doing. And sometimes it's in the moment. Sometimes it's in the life that comes after that. We showed a video at Easter of a person here who experienced baptism in a very, what I would think of as a unique and powerful way. And as important to me as what happened during baptism, it's the life and the fruit that has come as a result. I want you to watch Jenny's story with me just now.
I was bruised and broken beyond repair. Struggling with a lifetime of physical, mental, and sexual abuse, I felt like I was never enough. I numbed my pain with drugs, sex, and anything else I could find. I craved them every waking moment. The weight of my hopelessness grew heavier and heavier. In spite of all the abuse I had suffered, I eventually realized that my worst enemy was me. I had created an existence of pure hate, self-pity, fear, codependency, and lies. I was untrustworthy, unreliable, and worst of all, a completely selfish mother. On June 4th, 2016, I gave up. I walked onto the highway, screamed out at the top of my lungs, and laid down on the center line. Every car that raced past me was one step closer to death, until one car stopped. I opened my eyes and there was a police officer standing over me. He scooped me up from the road and began to tell me that I had a life worth living, that there were people who loved me, and that my life was not just my own. That day, he planted a seed. I began to attend C3. Each message was a dagger to my chest while also giving me hope. 5 months later, and still in active addiction, I took a step of faith and signed up to be baptized. I knew this decision meant I would have to change, really change. I had to take action and follow through. I reached out to my family and asked them to come. They said, "Sweetie, I love you, but I just can't anymore." The morning of, I remember telling my 4-year-old daughter that I didn't want to go. She glared at me, put her tiny hands on her hips and yelled, "Mommy, we are going and you're going to meet Jesus." When it was my turn, I felt my body become weak. When I tipped back into the water, my entire broken life flashed before my eyes. For the first time, my mind became completely silent. I felt peace and serenity. I could have stayed there forever. When I came back up, I was instantly sober. For the first time in 4 years, I was clean, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Since that day, God has broken every chain that the enemy used to bind me. God gave me a fresh start that day, a clean canvas to paint on. I never knew that being baptized would forever change my life. Today, I am a child of the one true King. No trial or demon can topple me. My strength and confidence come from complete dependence on Jesus. He is even using me to help others in active addiction or recovery. I serve with Mirror Ministries and help other women with the same past as myself. I've also been serving on the C3 tech team for 2 years now. We are an amazing family. God has completely transformed me as a mother, a daughter, and a friend. I get to carry the message of God's healing love into my relationships. I am proof of what God can and will do when we seek Him with all of our heart.
Jenny was here this morning and has graciously allowed our church to make her story available on our website, our app, you know, shareable, right? Who would want to keep that story to themselves? But here's the deal. You might look at that and you go, well, my story is nothing compared to that. The point of the story isn't how bad it was before. It's what's happened since. That's the beauty of the story, and everybody can have a story like that. The point is not to leave any shadow of doubt where you stand with God. And so that's one of my parting shots, is where do you stand with God? How is that for you? I can't answer that for you, but I have to ask the question, because ultimately you're responsible for answering that question for yourself. What is your next step? Maybe February 23rd, baptism is your next step. Don't leave here today without taking action on that, signing up for it, inviting people to be here, to encourage somebody. Maybe you're a little further back the way. You've just heard about Jesus for the first time today and you need some time. Or maybe it's cutting you right to the heart because you've figured out finally today for the first time that you've had it wrong. And you don't want to be wrong. You want to be loved. You want life. You want to be forgiven. You want peace in your heart. You want those things. And guess what? God wants those for you too. Today. Because here's the last question. What are you waiting for? There's no reason. There's no reason to wait. Today is the day. And I can't wait to see what God's going to do today and moving forward. Would you pray with me? Lord, for the cosmic reality of what you want to do for all humanity and reconciling the world and your big, big plans, it still boils down to the power of a changed life, one person at a time. Thank you, God, for making it that simple, that personal, a relationship with you and the steps that we can take, big and small, personal and public, but never private, to let a dying world know that there is life, there is hope, there is purpose. We get to be a part of that. God, give us courage to do the next right thing by your grace. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.